You're now listening to the Fantasy Filler Podcast, where we put you in the driver's seat every week, all year long. In the NASCAR racing world, from top news stories, latest results, and best fantasy lineups, we'll have you up to speed and out in front before the drop of the green flag. So let's dive in with our host, Vanilla Wafers.
Throwback weekend at Darlington Raceway did not disappoint as the racing delivered at all three divisions in the NASCAR racing world. We had the Truck Series race on Friday, Xfinity Series race on Saturday, and of course a big one, the Cup Series race on Sunday. Storylines continue, including Ross Chastain and Kyle Larson getting into each other, as well as our fantasy picks, some of them doing really well and some of them just absolutely disappointing. We are going to be talking about the final results, plus how well our fantasy picks, all that plus more on today's episode of the Fantasy Filler Podcast. I don't know how you see Darlington Raceway as anything less than stellar. It was absolutely fun from beginning to end. Maybe the Cup Series race in the first half was a little bit lackluster. There wasn't really too much going on. But at the very end, just action-packed. The Xfinity Series race. I mean, I was recording Saturday's episode during that race, and I was having a hard time paying attention to what I was talking about just because of how exciting that race was, and the ending was absolutely spectacular. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And the Truck Series race, still a very fun race, and some people even consider that to be the best race of the weekend. The fact that fans right now are arguing which race was the best and not which race did the worst is always good signs that you had yourself an excellent weekend, and Darlington Raceway continues to show why they should continually have the throwback weekend. It was extremely special because we just celebrated 75 years of NASCAR, so we had all the active drivers on the 75 greatest drivers list be able to come to the racetrack, including people like Carl Edwards, Bill Elliott, Richard Petty, and others coming up into the booth and talking during the Fox broadcast. I mean, there's just so many ups and so many things we got to talk about here in this weekend. So I'm going to go back to the old style that we're used to at the beginning of the 2023 season, as well as the last few years, where we're going to go dive into every individual race. I know I've been mostly focusing on the Cup race, but I think every single race and the drivers in those races deserve shout outs. I really do believe that because it was just absolutely fun. It's just been a great month for NASCAR. And even next week is even going to get even more exciting because we return to North Wilkesboro Speedway for the All-Star Race, All-Star Open, as well as a Truck Series race where they already have 40 trucks on the entry list and trucks that we have not seen yet in the 2023 season enter in, including the number 61 machine for Hattora Racing with Christopher Bell behind the wheel. That is going to be a lot of fun to watch. I cannot wait, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. We got to focus on this weekend, and trust me, there's a lot to focus on. So let's first dive in to the ninth race of the 2023 season for the Truck Series. This race happened on Friday, and let me tell you, it was a lot of fun to watch. So without further ado, let's dive into the final results and biggest takeaways for the Buckle Up South Carolina 200. So for this race, we had a total of 37 trucks on the entry list, meaning one was going to miss out. That one driver was the number 33 machine of Josh Rayom. They unfortunately do not make it into the main show. We had a total of 8 cautions for 37 laps. The crazy thing was the final 3 cautions came in the last 10 laps. It all came at the second half. You had the stage conclusions and then stage 3. All the cautions came in. It was pretty crazy there near the end. And we had 10 lead changes amongst 5 different drivers. It was honestly really just down to a couple drivers who had an opportunity to win the race. But with those drivers, they still put on one hell of a show. They really did. Came down to pit strategy. It came down to restarts. In the end, the driver to pull off the victory was probably the most dominant truck of the race, if not the second most dominant, and that was the number 19 of Christian Eckes, once again in victory lane for McAnally Racing, the same driver that used to be in the number 98 truck for Thor Motorsports. Now he moves on over here, already 2 victories with the team. They look to be one of the strongest trucks right now in the Truck Series, and they prove it once again here with a spectacular run here in this Darlington race. Right behind him was the number 52 of Stuart Friesen, who was more of a top 10 truck, but he was able to have some great restarts there near the end, able to get himself a second place finish, a great finish for the number 15 truck of Tanner Gray. He finishes third overall, did not score any stage points, so he was able to run up front when it mattered the most. William Byron was the top finishing Cup Series driver here in this race, and he finished fourth. That just shows you how good this Truck Series League is right now. You got Christian Eckes, Stuart Friesen, Tanner Gray beating William Byron. You also had Carson Hocevar, Raja Carruth edge out Bubba Wallace. You don't even see Ross Chastain and Corey LaJoy inside the top 10. It was just a great performance here by these Truck Series drivers. The best one, in my opinion, was definitely that number 51 truck of William Byron. He was able to win the stage, but only led seven laps. So it was a decent run for him, just was not able to beat these other three trucks in front of him, so he's credited with the fourth position. Around at the top five, you got the number 42 of Carson Hocevar. He was running around that position throughout the entire race, so pretty good run for him. It was very consistent. It's getting some stage points here and there. Granted, he does have a win, but having consistent races like that for Nice Motorsports is something that that team needs right now. Best finishing rookie was Raja Carruth. At one point, it looked like that 24 truck was going to wind up in victory lane. Unfortunately, the restarts did not work well for them in the end, so they're credited with the sixth position. Nothing to be ashamed of there for the GMS Racing team. I mean, like I said, they were very, very close at one point to getting the victory. But unfortunately, that was not the case. But still, they got something to be proud of. They were the top finishing rookie. Right behind them was Bubba Wallace, who had himself a kind of a decent run. I wouldn't say a spectacular run. He was not the top performing truck there for Tricon Garage, but is still able to get him around the top 10. That just helps him out with owner points. Hopefully that puts him in a position where maybe they do not have to worry about qualifying. In the eighth spot, this was the second, if not best, truck of the race, and that was the number 11 of Corey Heim. Corey Heim did a strategy there near the end. He decided to not take tires on one stop and then took tires when no one else did. So he had to start way in the back. Now, passing was extremely tough. It was extremely tough. But there near the end, he had himself an extra set of tires, and he was fighting his way through the front, and it looked like the restarts were going to work for him. But I think he needed one more restart for it to execute for a victory. Honestly, just ran out of time. There's just no other way to say it. And he did not get as good as a restart as he wanted in the very last one. So he ends up with an eighth place finish. It is what it is. They will definitely come back stronger. They still looked really good in this race. So I don't feel like they're going to be sad about this race overall. They're going to be bummed out about the finish. But it was still a great run for that 11 truck. They ran out the top 10. How about these two drivers here? The number 5 of Dean Thompson and the number 20 of Caden Honeycutt. Dean Thompson, he's been kind of one of those drivers that a lot of people have been giving a little bit of grief for here in this 5 truck. They've been like, when is he going to start doing good? When is he going to start doing good? Hey, top 10 finish, that's always something to be proud of. Kept the truck clean, didn't really get into too much trouble, able to finish in the top 10, that's always a good run for him. But Caden Honeycutt, this team has been struggling. This 20 truck team has been right there near the very back, having a hard time. Just, I think they missed a few races. And then you get Caden Honeycutt, a driver who was driving for Roper Racing, the 04 machine, loses ride. He comes on over here to the 20 truck, completely unsponsored, finishes 10th. Stays out of trouble, finishes 10th. This is the driver you want if you are a small truck team or even in the Nationwide Series. I truly do believe that. I love drivers like this for these smaller teams because they do not have to worry about a damn thing with their equipment, because a driver like Caden Honeycutt is going to deliver on all 10 cylinders here for your vehicle. He gets a top 10 for a team that didn't even deserve to be in the top 20, it felt like. But that's exactly what he did. So huge victory for this team as a whole. And great job by Caden Honeycutt. I hope this opens up more opportunities for him because he absolutely deserves it. And after this run, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people who have their eyes on him. Some noticeable drivers who finished outside the top 10 that we should mention. Nick Sanchez. The reason why I'm bringing him up is he was running in the top 5 entering the final lap. Unfortunately, he got caught up in an incident with Grant Infinger that put him in 11th and Grant Infinger in 14th. They were going to be around in the 6th or 7th position. It was just bad luck there at the end. They made contact. It was a crazy final restart. Haley Deegan, I thought for a while, was going to give themselves a good run as they were on the same strategy as Corey Heim. I almost said LaJoy. I do apologize for that. But she was not able to get up through the field. So big bummer for her. She finishes only 20th in this race. Taylor Gray deserves a shout out. He had himself a really good run in this race there near the end, but unfortunately got caught up on a restart, got some damage, and he was only able to finish in 21st. It was a great run. Definitely the finish does not apply to the performance he had overall in this race. And then people near the back. Some teams that absolutely struggled. Ty Majeski, unfortunately, in that number 98 truck, he gets some mechanical problems, and he finishes 31st overall in this race. Didn't really have the best truck in the world, but he definitely deserved a better finish than what he did. Matt DiBenedetto was another driver. He finished 25th in this race. He was running in the third position in stage one, and then gets caught up in a restart, just absolutely destroys his truck. He's able to keep on going, but he was one lap down. He should have been someone right up there in that mix running for the victory. Unfortunately, you got to stay out of trouble, and he didn't at a time when it mattered the most. Him and Jake Garcia. Jake Garcia with his teammate, they were looking to try to get first and maybe even fifth, or if not that, third. That's how good McAnally Racing was here this weekend. But he got spun out, got a lot of rear-end damage, so he finishes 26 overall. Went one lap down because of that damage, so a bit of a bummer. But the biggest one that was the biggest disappointment was these two drivers here. Chase Purdy in the 4 and Parker Kligerman in the 75. Chase Purdy just did not have anything going for him in this race. It looked like at first, oh, maybe he can get a top 10. That won't be too bad. And then he gets problems on pit road. Then he gets problems on restarts. Then he gets collected in another incident. And just like that, he finishes 32nd, another bad finish for this team. Chase Purdy definitely has a lot of stress right now. You're in equipment that most people consider to be the best equipment in truck series history, which I understand why. Kyle Busch Motorsports just has so many victories down here in the truck series. And he's just having really rough finishes right now. In the 32nd position, he was very, very pissed off at himself. You really saw him when he got out of the truck, just banged his arm on the roof of the truck and just stormed on off. So you can see the emotion there. He's trying to do everything he can, but you can definitely see at the same time the emotion starting to take over and him getting really, really upset. Hopefully this lights a fire underneath him rather than lighting his whole season on fire in the worst way possible. So, but we shall see here, but definitely a rough end for him. And then Parker Kligerman in the 75 truck, they had a good truck and then an oil leak. I don't know what has happened to them this year. I was a big advocate for this team to run full time. And then this year they've had nothing go their direction. Mechanical failures, getting caught up in an incident that wasn't their fault. It's just been a horrible, horrible season for the 75 truck. And it's not because of poor equipment. They've had good equipment. They just have not been able to finish the races, whatever that reason may be. This time it was an oil leak. You can't control that. You really can't. And for Parker Kligerman, that's just a heartbreaker. This team does really, really good in the races that they compete against. Hopefully it carries on over that fast equipment, not the bad luck, over for North Wilkesboro Speedway, because this team just needs some good luck. They need some good luck, because right now I don't even think they are safe from getting DQ'd in the race. I think they're so far back because of all these mechanical problems that they could potentially miss the race if they don't have a good qualifying time. So I'm hoping for some better luck out of the 75 team, but right now they are the team with the worst luck right now. I'd say the biggest winners, you got to give it to McAnally Racing with Christian Eckes, as well as Caden Honeycutt in that 20 truck. That's well-deserving. And the biggest losers in this race have to go to, unfortunately, you got to give it to Chase Purdy and Parker Kligerman. Race overall was a lot of fun. It was really hard to pass, but at the same time, that made the race pretty exciting. I think if we did not get those final few cautions, we still would have had ourselves a pretty exciting race between Eckes, Byron, and Raja Carruth. I think they would have put on a spectacular show there near the end. It just wasn't the case to happen. It is what it is. But I feel like the overtimes were not too draining for the fans. I would say that they were a little bit like, okay, let's wrap this race up. But at the same time, they were still exciting. So I don't want to dock off too much points. The one thing I will dock from this race was NASCAR trying everything they could to throw another caution to bunch everybody up there for the finish. As you guys are well aware, this race ended under caution, and Christian Eckes went barely past the line when they threw the caution. NASCAR was just trying to throw a caution to bunch it back up for another overtime. And there's just no other way to put it, because that last caution did not need to come out. Grant Enfinger, Nick Sanchez, yeah, they hit the wall, but it was nothing to the point where it's like, yep, these guys will not be able to get through there. They were still running. So bad call on NASCAR's part for them to be that quick on the button. I get it. We've had some situations where they weren't quick on the button. But at the same time, you know, these are some of the best, should be the best motorsports officials in the country. And for them to be making bad calls like that, it's a little bit of a sour taste. I'm not going to be, like, very vengeful against them, like, oh, how dare you guys take away a finish from us. I get it. But at the same time, it's just like, man, you at worst, this guy was going to be hitting the wall going a little bit below race speed. That was it. No one was going to run into him. So that's the only downer from it. Overall memorability, I give it a solid 7 out of 10. I'd say the... Definitely the finish really affects it, but it was still a really fun race, worth watching the replays on YouTube. Do keep in mind they have their thumbnail in reverse, like mirror mode. I don't know why they did that, but it is what it is. But fun race, and big congrats to Christian Eckes. He definitely deserved this victory and given a big old boost to that 19 truck team. Now let's move on into the Xfinity Series race, where I believe had the best finish by far compared to the other three races. So let's dive into the 11th race of the 2023 season for the Xfinity Series, the Shriners Children's 200. All right, so in this race, we had a total of 41 cars on the entry list, meaning three were going to miss out on the big show. Those three being the number 4, Garrett Smithley for JD Motorsports, Chad Fincham in the number 66 Toyota for MBM Motorsports, and then the number 74 of Dawson Cram, once again for CHK Racing. I think that is now their 9th race that they have missed so far here this season. They've only been able to make 2. We've had a total of 10 cautions for 51 laps, 18 lead changes amongst 9 different drivers. In the end, it was a battle between the two best drivers and throughout the entire race. They put on one hell of a show there on the final lap. We will talk more about that. In the end, a driver getting his first win at Darlington, period, was the number 10 of Kyle Larson, the 2021 Cup Series champion for Colic Racing, getting the big win for that team, leading 46 laps. He is your winner here of the Shriner Children's 200. Great job by him and great finish overall. He just had himself a spectacular run. He won the first stage, barely lost the second stage by like a couple thousandths of a second. That's how close it was between him and John Hunter Nemechek, who finished 5th in this race. John Hunter Nemechek was in the first position going into turn 1 on the last lap. He was in the second position going into turns 3, and he finished the race in 5th due to first and second making contact going to the start-finish line. It was absolutely crazy. If that 20 car was just a few feet forward, I bet you we would have seen something similar to what we saw back in 2003 with Ricky Craven and Kurt Busch. And I do believe that. These guys were just on each other the whole entire time, put on one hell of a race, and they did not disappoint there in the end. Definitely the best finish by far out of all three races, and that's honestly saying something. All these races had themselves great moments. They really did, but this one definitely was head and shoulders above the rest, and just a great job for Kyle Larson, just able to keep the car straight. And a great job by John Hunter Nemechek, giving it 110%. He wasn't mad about the finish. He obviously was mad that he wasn't able to win, but he did not hold any anger towards Kyle Larson because he knew it was hard racing. He knew that he didn't do anything wrong. You see the replays. Larson hits into the outside wall, nowhere for him to go, and John Hunter Nemechek keeps going up, keeps going up, keeps going up, and then bam, he gets sideways, wrecks there on the front straightaway, goes across the start-finish line, spinning out. Still able to get 5th place, but man, if you were a John Hunter Nemechek fan, you were bummed out by that. But if you were a Kyle Larson fan or just a fan of NASCAR in general, you were pumped about that finish. Let's look at the rest of the top 5. As we are well aware, we had John Hunter Nemechek in 5th. And the second spot was Justin Allgaier. He wasn't really able to battle with these guys. You could definitely tell who was the class of the field and who was the third best, which was the number 7 machine. He's able to finish 2nd overall in this race. Cole Custer in the 00. Finally getting some good runs. He ran the top 5 throughout the entire race. So great job for Cole Custer, getting steps in the right direction. That is exactly what he needs. Seems like he's been struggling a lot here at the beginning of the season. So for him to get 3rd here at Darlington, that's a great performance for Cole Custer. So really good run by those guys. Austin Hill in the 21, he was caught in the big one here in this race. We'll talk about that in a second. He didn't collect too much damage, so he was still able to recover and finish 4th overall. He's similar with Cole Custer, running around inside the top 5, maybe in the 6th position at some points, but overall he finished where he was running the whole entire time. The biggest winner was the driver who made their debut today in the Xfinity Series, Carson Hocifar for Spire Motorsports. He led 3 laps and finished 6th in this race, and was able to avoid all the incidents. I think for your first race in the Xfinity Series, you did a spectacular job. Carson Hocevar able to finish sixth. That's a great job. And great job for Spire Motorsports, too. They're bringing some great cars here into the lower series. I mean, they got their Truck Series program that's had some good runs. They've also had some bad runs at the same time. It's been a little mixed, but mostly up than it has been down. And then here for the Xfinity Series, able to get Carson Hocevar, a driver who has not ran in the Xfinity Series yet, a sixth-place finish. Just overall, they got to be happy. That 77 team has to be super pumped about this finish. So great job by him to be able to do that. And hopefully this leads to more opportunities for Carson Hocevar to run up here, because he definitely showed that, hey, he is more than capable of competing with these guys. Rounding up the rest of the top 10, we have the number 8 of Josh Berry, the number 1 of Sam Mayer, who probably, honestly, I said it was just an all-guyer, but Sam Mayer may have been the third best driver here in this race. He led 35 laps, had himself a really decent run. He just fell off there near the end. He was more of a top 5 driver, maybe even a top 3 driver, but for him to finish 8th, that's a little bit of a lackluster finish for a great performance. Still, you want consistency, especially in the position he is as far as points go. So he'll take an 8th place finish. I just hope that they're able to get a victory here soon, because he's starting to show that he does have some shiny moments in races. It's just unfortunately here near the end, he was not one of the factors and was not able to keep up with Kyle Larson or John Hunter Nemechek. And then how about this for Sam Hunt Racing? The number 26 of Kaz Grala and 9th, and Corey Heim in the 24 machine finishing 10th. Both their cars getting inside the top 10. They are the biggest team winners in my personal opinion. These are mid-tier cars, which I believe their goal is to finish inside the top 15. If they can get both cars inside the top 15, that's a great day. But they were able to get both of them inside the top 10. And for the most part, they kept those cars pretty clean. Granted, they got caught up in some situations here and there. But for them to be there near the end and get both those cars inside the top 10, that's a great run. That's a great run for this team. They're not going to be disappointed by that. So great job. Corey Heim just had himself a great time in Darlington. I know he wanted that victory in the Truck Series, but to get that 24 car inside the top 10, that's also something to be very proud of as well. Some notable drivers that we should mention who finished outside the top 10. Good run for these three drivers who are trying to make it into that final transfer spot. If we don't get enough people in victory lane, I'm more than likely these will be the 3 to 4 drivers fighting for that last spot. And that was Parker Kligerman in 13th, Jeremy Clements in the 51 and 14th, Anthony Alfredo in the 78 and 15th, and Daniel Hamrick in the 11th and 16th. All of them had pretty decent runs. They probably wanted a better finish. I think Daniel Hamrick was definitely looking for more of a top 10. But for them to be right here in the middle, I'd say that was a pretty decent run for these guys. And these will be the guys competing for that final spot. I really do believe that. And right now, it looks like Parker Kligerman has the edge on all 4 of these drivers right now. But you never know. We're going into the summer stretch here shortly, and things could change up. But overall, these guys, pretty decent run. Some of them got a little bit of damage there in the middle of the race, more specifically Daniel Hemric. But for them to still finish inside the top 16 is still something to be proud of. You had Ross Chastain, the number 91. He was able to bring his car into the 18th position. I think people want a little bit of better run for him, but it is what it is. Ty Dillon, the number 3 machine, also the same thing as Ross Chastain. I think people expected a better result. He finished 19th overall in this race. The rest of the people back here were people who got significant damage or were just completely off the mark here in this race. Sheldon Creed in the number 2, he had himself a great restart there near the end, and then he got sideways, ran out of room, spun out, and he finishes 25th overall in this race. Again, the questions keep looming. When is he going to get his first win? He's very talented. He's very talented, but he's very chaotic. There's just no other way to put it. So, honestly, there's no more guessing of when. It's just like, you just don't know what you're going to get out of a chaotic driver. Talented racer by far. Super talented, but just cannot finish a race. And this was another perfect example of that, as he caused the big one to get spinning out. And so did his partner. I mean, you had Austin Hill spin out simultaneously at the same time, but it was mostly that number 2 car that caused the big incident. He also had Ryan Sieg. He had himself a good run there, but unfortunately suffered engine problems near the end. He finishes 27th overall. Definitely does not fit the performance. They should have been running inside the top 10. And it just seemed like things got bad to worse for RSS Racing, because Kyle Sieg wrecked at the same time they were having engine problems. So those drivers finished 27th and 30th overall. And then Joe Graff Jr. also had an accident, and he finishes 32nd. So just a bad performance overall for those guys. Brandon Jones and Ryan Truex, they were part of that big accident that took them out of the race. Both of them were able to get stage points in the first stage, but they will be credited with the 34th and 35th position, with Chandler Smith right behind them, also in that accident, finishing 36th overall. And then the driver who wrecked out the earliest in this race was a driver that was hoping to stay at the end just because of his amazing paint scheme, was the number 98 of Riley Herbst, out on lap number 29 due to an accident. Again, he is also one of those chaotic drivers. He's going to get caught up in something in the middle of the race. It's just going to depend on if he's able to execute. And unfortunately for him, it was way early in the race and it took him out extremely early. Overall, very, very fun race. NASCAR did a little bit better on this race. They were still trigger happy with the caution at the very beginning, because the first caution was for the number 18 machine on lap number 5. And the crazy thing about it was Sammy Smith just got loose. He got loose, got sideways, didn't even throw up any smoke, and they were like, oh, that's a caution. And everyone was like, what? Why? Why would you do such a thing? I get it. Like I said, we've been on their asses for a while, but again, these are the should be the best officials. They should know when a driver's going to spin out or not. And I felt like that one, it looked like he wasn't going to spin out, but they still threw the caution. The rest of the race, they did really good at officiating. I felt like the race was absolutely fun. The announcers, I wish they had more excitement in their voice. I mean, the end of stage 2 was spectacular, and the end of the final stage was spectacular, and I didn't really feel that energy from them. So the memorability of the race, I still think it's a 9 or 10. The only thing affecting it a little bit is just the simple fact that the announcers didn't really bring it all in. And it's very important for people watching on TV to have very excited announcers. If you have someone like DW and Mike Joy up there, they can put on an exciting call at the very end. Rick Allen, we know he can put on an exciting call at the end with Dale Jr. and Steve Letard up there. Jeff Burton also gets really excited. I just felt like we missed that. We missed that here in this race, and it was a bit of a bummer, but still an exciting race. Go watch the replays. There was a reason why I was distracted in our fantasy episode, because it was just so exciting of a race from beginning to end. Definitely, in my opinion, the best race of the weekend. But let's move on to the biggest race of the weekend, and let's talk about the 13th race of the 2023 season for the Cup Series. Now let's look at the biggest takeaways and final results for the Goodyear 400. All right, let's strap into this one, because this race was insane for many, many reasons. So we only had 36 cars on the entry list, a little bit bummed out by that, but at this point, we should only expect 36 cars. If we get 37 cars, it's because Chandler Smith's in there, or the Money Racing team just makes a surprise appearance out of nowhere. We shouldn't really expect anything at all in Project 91 and Jimmy Johnson. That's it. That's it. I bet you we are only going to see like 38 max from here on out. But most of the time, we will see 36. We had a total of 8 cautions for 47 laps and 19 lead changes amongst 8 different drivers. The most dominant drivers in the race, the 3 drivers who led the most laps, finished 20th or worse. The winner of the race was a driver who was in the mix the entire time, wasn't really the leader, but in the final 2 restarts stayed out of all the problems that happened there with the leaders on restarts, was able to get his 3rd victory of the season. Of course, I'm talking about my boy, the number 24 of William Byron, makes it into victory lane, the 100th victory for the number 24 car. Jeff Gordon's won 93 of them, and William Byron just won his 7th race of his career. It's just been a spectacular run for that 24 team. There has been a lot of luck, I'm not going to lie. They have been extremely lucky with the cautions, with the pit calls, and the one time they did not have good pit calls, because let's be honest, the pit crew kind of struggled there near the end. They had themselves a pretty slow pit stop when it mattered the most, and they went from, like, I think they were 3rd, and they ended up in 7th. If not 3rd, it was 2nd. And they stayed out of all the big ones that happened, got no damage at all, and just rode off into the sunset to collect the victory. It's just a great season for William Byron, definitely having his breakout year, and putting everyone on blast. If he did not have that, what was it? Was it a 60-point penalty? I think it was 60 points. He would be the points leader right now. That's just how good the season has been. And hopefully he does get a win where he just earns it 100%. And I'm not saying that he didn't earn the Vegas win. He was very dominant in that one. I'd say he was the 2nd best in the Phoenix race. This one, he was probably the 3rd or 4th best. but he stayed out of trouble. I want to see him from the very beginning to the end, just absolutely dominated a race, doesn't have a caution that helps him out, and he gets the victory. But still, if you're a 24 fan, you're absolutely pumped. I know I was pumped. He was a top pick for a lot of people, including myself, and for him to score 56 points here in fantasy, definitely a big two thumbs up for that 24 camp. Finishing right behind him, Kevin Harvick in the number four machine finishes second. I did not think it was going to be a good run for him. But then again, I said take a gamble on him because he's been notorious for finishing inside the top 10 no matter how bad his car is. And the only time he did not finish in the top 10 was the most recent one, so it scared me a little bit. He was kind of a gamble, but at the same time, I should have thought better. I mean, Kevin Harvick just stayed out of trouble. He stayed around the top 10 the entire time. Good job for Kevin Harvick. I'm pretty sure Kevin Harvick fans are absolutely happy about that. I did not see him in victory lane here this weekend. There was just too many cars that were stronger than him. And even though there was a lot that got taken out and he was able to go up front, there was still one that was a little bit more powerful than him and he finished the second overall. Still, I think that's a big win for them. That and Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott felt like just a top 10 car, and he didn't get any stage points either. So it was like, man, is he even going to be able to finish inside the top 10? But he got into a little bit of trouble there in one of the restarts, didn't get too much damage, so he stayed on out, and he's able to finish third. They're happy with that. I know they are. You know, Chase Elliott, even though a lot of people say, man, he's not performing like he usually does, the dude has still been running inside the top 15 every single race. He's still been running really well, so we can't take that away from him right now. And for him to get a third place finish, that's exactly what he needs to do. And we're coming up on a couple of road courses here soon. We know he's going to be doing good there. I know for a fact he's going to do good in the Charlotte race. He's always been so close to that Coca-Cola 600. You know he wants that victory. I don't think Chase Elliott fans need to worry right now. I think right now you're still going to see him running more inside the top 10 rather than the top 5. But consistency right now does look good, and if he can keep that consistency going, he will be in victory lane before the playoffs begin. In the fourth spot was Brad Keselowski. Great run for that number six team. Definitely the best performing Ford. He was not the top finishing Ford, but he still scored the most fantasy points just by his consistency. Sixth in stage one, fifth in stage two, and fourth in the final stage. Just a good run for that six team. Really proud of them, and they're just proving that if Brad Keselowski has done good at a race track in the past, he's gonna do good in the race. And he proved it once again right here in this one where he was able to finish fourth. Bo Wallace, a really good run for him. Still finished in the top five. I'd say that's a really, really great run for a driver that we did not know too much if he was going to run well or not. We knew he had a good qualifying spot, but in the past, his finishes have been a little bit rough here in this race. We did take that into consideration, but he stayed up front for the most part. Second stage, was not able to get any stage points, but the third place finish in stage one and able to finish inside the top five. Great job for them. Great job. Stay out of trouble when it mattered the most. And for them to get a fifth place finish, that's something to be proud of. They were the top finishing Toyota, and at worst, they were the third best Toyota here in this race. And that's something to be proud of. So great job for Bubba Wallace and that team. Sixth place, great run. Great performance by the number 21 of Harrison Burton. Really proud of these guys. I'm so glad Harrison Burton got himself a great finish in this number 21 car. It's been atrocious for this team, and I hate to use that word for Harrison Burton because he's a great kid. I've been able to talk to him once or twice, and it's just been a rough going for this team, but for them to finish inside the top 10, and they didn't really walk into this position. They were running up there in the 14th, at some point the 9th position. So they were doing really good. And then when this problem started to happen for Larson, Chastain, and Truex, they were able to avoid the incidents and they finished 6th. So very proud for them on that one. Kyle Busch also had himself a great performance. I don't even think I mentioned Kyle Busch, and I feel really ashamed about that one because he had himself a great run. He scored the second most fantasy points out of anybody. So big mistake on my end. I did not expect Kyle Busch to run spectacular here in this race. I don't know why. He finished 7th. And that was worse than his first and second stage. His first stage, he finished 5th, and his second stage, he finished 2nd. So, whoopsies on that one, guys. Big apology there. But Kyle Larson still showing consistency, still looking really good, which is shocking that he's doing so good, but his teammate Austin Dillon's doing so bad. Another 35th place finish for the number 3 team. And now, granted, they got caught up in an accident, but they weren't really having that good run to begin with. So just a really, really bad performance here. I don't know how the 8 car can have 2 victories right now, looking really good, could potentially have 4 victories at this point. And the number 3 car is struggling to stay in the top 30 in points. There's been multiple teams that have been doing that this year, and it's been very, very strange, but no more stranger than this one right here going on with Richard Childress Racing. I think this is the biggest separation between teammates, and hopefully something can be figured out here for Austin Dillon, this 3 car, because, man, it is crazy to be seeing Kyle Busch score 45 points, and then you have Austin Dillon on the other side of the spectrum just with 2 points. Just big differences. And then round out the top 10, give a shout out to Justin Haley in the 31. Stay out of trouble. Good run for him, finishing 8th. Ryan Blaney stayed around inside the top 10 for the most part. That's where he was going to finish, so good job for him. Finishes 9th, and then round out the top 10 was the number 17 of Chris Buescher, mostly ran around the 15th position. He also stayed out of trouble, and he was able to finish 10th. So good driver to potentially take a gamble on here, and hopefully you guys did, because he paid off pretty well with 27 points. That's not bad for a 5th driver, especially if you had someone who was a top pick here, like Ross Chastain, Martin Truex Jr., or Kyle Larson. These guys led a combined total of, let me try to do the math here in my head, almost 275 laps out of 295 laps. That's how many laps they led. These guys were the class of the field. And Martin Truex Jr. finishes 31st. Ross Chastain finishes 29th. And Kyle Larson finishes 20th. Now, we once again come to the same story that we've been talking about every single week. And that is Ross Chastain running into somebody else. And this was another example of it. And Ross Chastain on the second to last restart goes too hard on the inside and rams into Kyle Larson, and they both wreck. And the crazy thing was, everybody saw it. Everybody knew it was coming. And that's really bad when people see something like that coming. It's just like, oh, watch, he's going to wreck them both. Oh, he wrecked them both. And that is just not a good sign. I like Ross. I'm still trying to like Ross Chastain. I know there's a lot of Ross Chastain fans out there, and it's mostly due to the fact that he doesn't expect to be ran differently. He'll take full responsibility for it. It doesn't mean it's right. But if it does happen to him, he's not going to be out there like, why did they do that to me? That's unbelievable. He's no better than me, so I'm not the bad guy here. He's never really came off like that. He's always been like, yep, I race like that, so if it happens to me, it happens to me. And I think that's why he holds on to fans. But gosh, it's just every single week with this guy. It's been crazy. Now, Justin Marks talked to Dave Moody, and it's not like they're trying to push this off to the side like, oh, that's just how he races, that's just how it is. They have been trying to focus on how he can run more friendlier on the racetrack. I don't like saying that. Probably not overly aggressive. Overly aggressive is Ross Chastain at points when he shouldn't. He did this at Dover with Larson, where he took out Brandon Poole, and Larson was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And this time, he should have been aggressive, but not to the point where you wreck both cars and you have no chance of winning. Because if Larson was not there, if he was able to complete the slide job, he was still going to hit that wall. It was just not a good decision on Chastain's part. And it bit them in the ass tremendously. They both had really good cars, but the results won't show for it because, once again, aggressive racing really took them out of contention. And it's a bummer. I think Ross Chastain and Trackhouse Racing are going to come back and they're going to keep on performing. Kyle Larson, he's could have won 7 races at this point, and he's just had some of the worst luck ever. It's hard being a Kyle Larson fan. I feel for you guys. I like Kyle Larson, and there's a guy that I talked to on that pit crew. He's a great guy, and even him, he's just like, man, it's great that this 24 car keeps ending up in victory lane, but we should be the ones in victory lane, and he's right. Larson has just had some great cars. It just hasn't paid off for him. And this was another race for him. Looked like things were going to go right into his hands. And then, bam, just falls apart for him. Just a big bummer right there. Martin Truex Jr. Man, Martin Truex Jr. really had himself a tremendous run here in this race. I felt like he was going to be a top pick, as maybe he was going to lead a few laps. Maybe he was going to be there near the end. And he was also starting on the front row. So I was like, okay, it could be a good run for him. It was a spectacular run, and then he gets caught up in an accident. If you're a Martin Truex Jr. fan, you're heartbroken. You're just thanking the good Lord that he does have a victory at this point. He does have a victory, so he's locked into the playoffs if we do not have 16 winners. But even then, we've also seen how consistent he's been with points. So I'm pretty sure he's going to stay locked in. I don't see a universe where Martin Truex Jr. has this victory and there's 16 other drivers who are better than him as far as points go. I don't see that one happening. So I think you're fine on that level. Martin Truex Jr. here in this race put everything on the line. The team did such a good job, and for him to get caught up in that accident there near the end, it's just a heartbreaker, just an absolute heartbreaker. That's just what happened. It got super aggressive. People got jumbled up, and he got the worst end of the stick. He finishes 31st overall in this race, out on lap number 280, and it just has to hurt because everyone expected a great finish out of him, but just the chaoticness of the restarts, he was just one of those unfortunate drivers that got caught up in it. And there's not much he could have done. He was there on the top lane, but it is still a heartbreaker nonetheless. Let's look at a few more of our fantasy picks here. I think there's a few we haven't touched on yet. The biggest, yes, there has been, because I need to talk about this guy. The biggest bummer in this race, hands down, the biggest disappointment was Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin was such a letdown in this race. It was unbelievable. I thought he was going to be a top pick running for the victory, and he was at best a 15th place car. That's all he was, and I don't know what happened to that team. After doing so good the week before, and then coming here to Darlington, which is one of your best racetracks, and not doing a damn thing, and your teammates are doing good. We saw how good Martin Truex Jr. was doing. They were just nowhere to be seen. And I have no idea what happened. No idea at all. They were the biggest disappointment. And I got to apologize for them because I thought, man, it was going to be a slam dunk. They were going to do just fine. And they just weren't there. They finished 12th in this race. And honestly, that's too good of a finish for them. They should have been 17th at best. I really do believe that. Big bummer right there for them. Joey Logano, we had him as a pretty good pick here, and it was looking like he was going to be that surpriser near the end with the strategies. I did not think it was going to happen. I was like, well, again, another mistake, but then he was running up there to the fourth position, then the third position, and everyone's like, where did he come from? I'm like, that's just Joey Logano. They just do those pit strategies. He gets caught up in the same incident as Martin Truex Jr. He finishes 18th. It just didn't work out for him. It really didn't, but they're more, at this point, we're going to rely on them on smart strategies there near the end. And that's about it. I expect probably them being a third or fourth pick for here on out unless they show us something really crazy here during the summer stretch. Tyler Reddick was another top pick for us in the number 45 machine. Top 10 driver at best. He wasn't really a great performer here in this race. I think the ejection of his crew chief really did affect him. He also got caught up in that incident. I think if he does not get caught up in that incident, he may get himself an 8th or 9th place finish. But I expected a little bit more out of him. I don't know if that's going to really bump his credentials as far as being a fantasy pick moving forward. But it was still a bit of a letdown. And then let's look at our gamble picks here. We talked about Chris Buescher being a good gamble. He paid off. Kevin Harvick was a big payoff, definitely. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., he should have been a great payoff. He finished 13th, but the dude should have finished 6th or something like that. He should have been right up there. He spins out. He goes a lap down. He goes down pit road, and he gets caught speeding. I'm like, no, why? I picked you as my number one driver. Dang it. For those who do not know what I'm talking about as far as number one driver goes, you can only pick one driver for each race. And I decided to go with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. thinking that was going to be a good pick. I mean, 30 points isn't that bad, but it should have been about 38 points. I felt like he was going to have himself a great run, in which he did. Just unfortunately made a big mistake at a racetrack that you do not want to speed at. And unfortunately he did. He's just very, very lucky that he was able to finish 13th overall. So still a good payout there. Michael McDowell and Erik Jones did not pay off at all. They got caught up in accidents, and Erik Jones and Legacy Motorsports overall, or Legacy Motor Club, excuse me. I don't know what's going on anymore. I know Erik Jones had some speed at some point, but yeah, they just don't look good right now. There's just no other way to put it. They don't look good. They're not impressing me. They're at best a 25th place team. Erik Jones could probably get top 20s, but we don't expect him to get top 20s. We're trying to get him to finish in 10th or better, and it's just been lackluster. It's driving me crazy, but that's this is something we're going to have to accept. This should have been one of his best races, and he finished 25th. It just did not work out for him. Gets caught in an accident. He loses a tire, so he's going to have some crew members ejected. So that's going to affect them even more, and just not a good finish. And Michael McDowell, he's another one of those drivers. We're expecting good stuff out of him. It's just not paying off. He's too risky right now, and I think it's best just to leave him off to the side. I would trust Todd Gilliland more than Michael McDowell at this point. Todd Gilliland just missed the cut for me as a driver to take a gamble on, and he finished 11th. So Todd Gilliland is definitely the stronger car at this point, and Michael McDowell, just things are not clicking together. As far as the matchups went, we had Denny Hamlin over Kyle Larson. That shouldn't have happened, but Denny Hamlin was able to beat him because Kyle Larson got caught up in that incident. We also had Kevin Harvick. I lean more towards Kevin Harvick over Joey Logano. At first, it looked like it was going to be Joey Logano, but again, an incident gave Kevin Harvick the advantage. Daniel Suarez should have beat Noah Gregson. He gets himself a penalty, and he gets caught up in a wreck. That's just if you see your driver get a penalty early in the race, accept defeat. Almost accept defeat, because 85% of the time, they're going to get caught up in someone else's mischief. And that's what happened to Daniel Suarez. So, fortunately, Noah Gregson got the point there, and Daniel Suarez did not. And then Christopher Bell was able to edge out Eric Jones. I felt comfortable with going with Christopher Bell. I just don't know what to think of with Eric Jones. Like I just said, I went on that tangent. And Legacy Motor Club, they're just not there right now, and I really don't know what else to say. Overall, it was a really fun race. I enjoyed the announcers coming up there, all the 75 greatest drivers getting their points in there, like Carl Edwards, Kyle Petty was up there. I know he doesn't count as the 75 greatest driver, but it was great to see him up in the booth. Bill Elliott, Richard Petty. Hell, even Carl Edwards made the hint that he wants to come back in some shape or form. So that is pretty exciting to hear. Not a guarantee, obviously, but he hints that he does miss it. And that is huge because we haven't really heard anything from him since 2016. So that was a lot of fun. The throwback schemes, they were absolutely stellar. The race was a lot of fun. I'd say the first half was definitely lackluster. That does make it lose some points. And the Fox coverage did pretty good. They are trying new things, which I can enjoy, including the radio stuff where they were kind of showing a little bit of a Formula One style. It almost reminded me of Radioactive mixed with Formula One. And they were showing us what drivers were thinking in the middle of the race. I like that. I like that a lot. That's a good add-on, definitely for the races. I want to hear what drivers have to say. Of course, I can get the NASCAR scanner, but people don't have access to that all the time. So overall, I give this race a solid 9 out of 10. I don't think it's the best race. I don't think it beat Kansas, but I don't think it's going to be on the lower end of anybody's list. I think it did provide some very entertaining moments that all of us could be very appreciative of. And Darlington, once again, proving to everyone that it should have two races on the schedule, because no matter what, you're going to get a banger at the end. Conclude the final results for today's episode. Wow, this was a longer episode, almost the same length as the fantasy picks, so there's definitely a lot to talk about. I did not lie about that, and it was really fun to talk about. I could have kept going on and on and on. It was just a fun weekend, so great job to NASCAR on that one. Here's the top three from Fantasy League. Well, let's first cover the people who got 200-plus points. We had a total of six people able to do that. The top three, I just barely missed it. I'm so sad. I was in fourth place. Ugh! But in the third spot, we have Nick G at 212 points. Fantastic Fusion was able to finish second with 216 points. And then Pat was able to score 228 points. Congratulations to you guys. You guys were the top performers here this weekend in NASCAR Field Fillers. You will get a shout out here as well as on TikTok during NASCAR Therapy. The best performing drivers as far as fantasy points went, here are the top five. William Byron was first with 56. Kyle Busch was second with 45. Then you had Brad Keselowski in third with 44. Kevin Harvick with 42 in the fourth position, and then the fifth and final spot, we had Bubba Wallace in the number 23. So that was the perfect five to have on your fantasy roster. If you want to follow me on social media, you can do so on YouTube, TikTok, or Twitter. YouTube, I just posted a new video regarding recent injuries in NASCAR and their aftermaths. I felt like it was a really fun video to make. We got a few thousand views there, so thank you guys so much for that. Let's keep it going, and we'll see what the next video will be. I think I'll just do a funny one. I want to do a funny one for my next video, and then after that, maybe I'll do like the top 10 dirtiest drivers. So we got some fun videos coming up there on YouTube. Just look up at Vanilla Wafers. TikTok, all the NASCAR trivia and the NASCAR therapy, as well as card opening videos, you can find there at Vanilla Wafers 44. Or if you want to ask questions for to me or talk to me directly, Twitter's usually the best way to do that. And I'm just at Vanilla Wafers there. I usually talk there during race time. Just reach out to me, guys. I'll make sure to answer you guys as fast as I can. I have a few people now doing that every single day, and that's really cool. I really do appreciate that, guys, so thank you so much. Next week is North Wilkesboro Speedway, and I cannot wait for it. It should be super exciting. We might do kind of like a fun pick the winner, pick the open winner, but we're not going to do any fantasy points because I don't think there's really anything going on for fantasy since it's an expedition race. So we're just going to enjoy it. But let's wrap up the episode there, guys. I have been your host, Vanilla Wafers, and I have been able to take you to the front of the field. So why don't we grab that checkered flag, do some burnouts, and head on out. So you all take care. This has been the Fantasy Filler Podcast.